teenagers from the 70s. Come on. Expose your age. Teenagers from the 70s. I had a fun thought this morning during the first worship song. Rochelle used to belong to, she was in a Christian rock band in the 70s. And I was running sound. And I was thinking the song they sang, it came to me, how things have changed. That's how they would sing a worship song back then. And they couldn't even get in churches, you know, because we were singing songs, they were singing worship songs like that. Worship has changed. But I'm going to tell you what, when you get to heaven, it's going to even be greater, higher, and even more than what we're doing now. So it is amazing. When I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, when we were teenagers, they were putting stuff together and going into churches and singing just like that, and now that's how we do our worship. You know, things do change, but I thought that was just a fun thought for all of us 70 people who, you know, worships now the way we worshiped back in the 70s, you know, okay? So it's kind of fun to think about that. When Rochelle and I go to state parks, one of the main things that we like to do is to go and walk the trails. And a lot of the state parks have a lot of beautiful trails and very interesting trails. So when Rochelle and I walk up to the entrance to a trailhead, there is a sign there. And this sign describes the trail that you're going to walk on. I call it the cost. Because some of the trails are easy, some are medium, and some are hard. But one of the things about the medium and hard ones, you do seem to see more, experience more. And when you get to the end of it, even though you're tired and you're sweating and you've run out of water, it was worth the journey. Not only that, on these trails, they have signs that remind you on what trail you're on and remind you where other trails are going. And if you read everything as you should before you left, you don't want to make a decision probably sometimes about halfway through. So, well, let's just go try that one. We've done that. Wish we hadn't done that. God has a path for His church. And you and I are the church. And it is a path to abundant life. And Jesus revealed the words on the sign to the entrance to the trailhead called the abundant life. Now remember some things I just said. It shares with you at the state park what to experience on your trail. In part by calling out, is it easy, is it medium, or is it hard? So you know up front. And then there's signs along the way to make sure you stay on the right path. God does the same thing. Today, God is going to tell us what the sign says at the entrance to the trailhead of the abundant life. And we're going to look at signs that tell us how to stay on the path this morning. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus tells them this in verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be My follower, who in here wants to be Jesus' follower? Come on. You want to be Jesus' follower? All right. Here's what the trail at the head of the trailhead says for abundant life. You must give up your own way. He goes on and says, you got to pick up your cross and follow Me. But it begins with what? Giving up your own way. It means giving up your own way. That means this afternoon, some of you are going to have to make a decision, not my way, but God's way. It's giving up our way. And I think, unfortunately, in the church, we're leaving our crosses laying around in all kinds of places because we don't want to give up our way. So we don't pick up the cross today because I'm going to do what I want to do, not what God wants me to do. My way gets in the way of picking up my cross and following Him. The key to following Him is picking up the cross, but it begins with, I've got to make a decision, what? To give up my own way. Then pick up my cross and then follow Him. Because the reality is, if I don't put down my own way, I'm not going to carry my cross very far in following him, because the journey might just possibly become hard. But at the end of the journey, there is abundance and blessing at the end. Always. And get this, he's such a good God, there's blessings and abundance along the way. If we give up our own way, pick up our cross and follow him. Heather Bixler said this, trusting God enough to guide us down the best pathway of our life requires us to first surrender our life to him. Now, we all understand that from a salvation standpoint. You got to surrender in that moment. But the reality is, the Christian walk is a surrender every day, moment by moment. Surrendering our way and picking up our cross and following him, wherever that may lead. Sometimes the trail is easy. Sometimes it's a medium trail, as my app on my phone tells me when we're walking trails. We can keep up with where we're at. I don't even need those signs. It tells me if I went the wrong way. And it tells me, easy, medium, or hard. We must. I'm just can't put it any other way. The church must give up its own way and follow his way and carry our cross and not put it down. We put it down when we start traveling down our own path. Three things I've learned about surrendering. Number one, surrendering to God is showing complete faith in him and belief in his promises. Complete faith in him and his promises. You can't give up on the promises. You got to stay connected to his promises. Surrender is, I don't give in, I don't give up, and I don't let go, and I don't push it aside and say it's just never going to happen. Surrender says, no matter what, my God is faithful, he will bring it to pass. Maybe not in my time, but in his time. Did we not experience that with this building? In his time. Was he faithful? Did we have to endure? Did we have to put aside what we wanted to have what he wanted us to have? We have to surrender to him completely. And surrender, what that outward reality is, that I am going to stand and believe God for the promises no matter what. I'm going to surrender. When we're not surrendered, we do number two. Surrendering control is a daily, moment-by-moment choice. When we're not surrendered, we're trying to control it. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to get there in our own strength. Surrendering control. What did he say in the scripture? He said, give up your own way. We have to surrender. We got to surrender control day by day, moment by moment. Now, let me rehearse something I've rehearsed over and over here, because it's helped a lot of people. And I'm sure it will help someone this morning. Before I get out of bed, I'm going to rehearse what I've shared. Before I get out of bed, I'm already talking to God, worshiping God. And one of the primary things that I have communication with God about is, before my feet touch the floor, God, I surrender this day to you. I have plans. I have goals. I have dreams. I have a list of to-do things that I got to get done. But I surrender this day to you before my feet touch the ground. You lead, guide, and direct me. Holy Spirit, remind me along the way when I'm going down my own path. Surrender begins before I get out of bed. But guess what? I am having to face and make choices all day long to do what? Surrender. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. The third thing I have learned, surrender is literally giving up all control. I'm going to drill down on that a little bit later. But let that just settle for a moment. It's literally giving up all control. What happens in any military campaign when the other side surrenders? They give up what? All control. All control. We have to reach a place in our walk where we're going to give up all control. I could go through a list of things that we do every week that God has been trying to talk to us about to let go and let Him deal with this and let Him fix it. But He's not fixing it the way I could fix it. Oh. He's not fixing it in the time that I know it needs to be fixed. He's not fixing it, so I've got to intervene because God's evidently not paying attention, because if I don't fix it, they're never going to come to know Jesus. We've got to surrender, let's start with our families, to Him completely. And trust Him. We'll drill down on that more in a minute. Andrew Murray said this, just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, Father, I pray that people have ears to hear what's about to be said. So the moment God finds you abased and empty, His glory and power flow in. We're trying to work towards that glory and power by trying to work it, trying to do it, trying to control things, trying to make this happen. And the key to walking in His glory and His power is when I give up and surrender all to Him. When I empty myself out, then He fills me up. We have to stop trying to make it happen and start surrendering so it will happen. We've got to surrender all so that it will happen. What was Pastor Rachel's message last week? Was a key. True, real humility. Humility. An emptying out into real, true humility. One of the pathway signs along this journey to an abundant life is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. The Scripture says, no man, now get this, no man who believes in Him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in Him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. What's the keys? No man who believes in Him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in Him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. My Father will fulfill the promises. We must surrender all. We must trust Him completely. We must adhere to His Word and not ours. We must adhere to His ways, His path. Because the things that we're believing for are the only way we're going to see them come to pass is to surrender and empty ourselves so that God can bring those things to us. Because we get in our own way trying to get to the promises God has promised all of you and me, and we get in the way of God fulfilling it because we won't let go. We have to trust Him. Scripture, this is a promise from God out of Romans 10, 11. If you adhere to, rely on, and trust in Him, believe Him, surrender to Him, He will not put you to shame, and He will fulfill His promises. It's about surrender. We have to make a choice. Here's the choice we've got to make. We've got to make the choice, and we're having to make it daily. We have to make the choice to untie ourselves from control. We've got to untie ourselves from worry. Hello. Got to untie ourselves from fretting. and doubting. We need to untie ourselves from dread and tie ourselves to the promises of God and to a God who is faithful. If I will surrender to Him, the glory of God will come flowing in and fill me up, and His power will come in and fill me up, and everything will begin to change. It'll begin to change. We have to untie ourselves. Listen to me. We got to untie ourselves from this afternoon. We got to untie ourselves from Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We need to untie ourselves of the control of tomorrow and put it in God's hands and trust Him with our tomorrow and our future, because He knows best. And here's the biggie. We need to leave the results to Him, because He's a faithful God. And He knows best. He knows best. Our key word today is surrender. But there's another word that we're going to land on. And it's most important, and it's the word trust. Trust. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which God has been plowing our fields with since before COVID, in January, just prior to COVID, He's still plowing our field with this here at NEC. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Got to surrender. Do not lean on your own understanding. Surrender. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Surrender. And He will make straight your paths. You must trust Him. You must trust Him. I like to say it this way: get your hands off of it and watch it change. I'm going to read something to you. Something that I penned in one of my journals. This is from 2011, talking about surrender and trust. And here's what I penned in May of 2011. To trust God means trust Him even when we don't understand. Even when we don't understand. Don't understand why, don't understand how come, don't understand why it's not changed yet. Trust Him, because He's a God who is faithful to His promises. He's fulfilling promises right here, right now, this moment. Been fulfilling promises that He has made to us at NEC. And that's why it's so important that Pastor Rochelle and I don't allow the vision that God planted and put out there to be hijacked, because God has a plan. He has a path for us, maybe different than everybody else's, but God knows where this church needs to go, and He knows whose lives it's going to intersect. What is our job? Surrender. What are we supposed to do? Trust, no matter what. No matter what. Even when we don't, and there's been a lot of times, we just flat didn't understand. But we stayed in the middle of the promise, and God is fulfilling the promise. Trust, Dictionary Bible Themes, reliance on and confidence in a person. Christian faith is essential. Essentially, trust in the person and character of God. We're going to drill down on that a little bit more in just a moment. We're headed somewhere. There's something I want to address. Here's one of my pen truths. For those of you who are guests with us for the first time, a pen truth is something I've learned or a revelation God has given me over my walk with Him these past 35 years. Pen truth in ministry. Pen truth. I have discovered that God is not interested in battling with me to persuade me to trust Him. You know why? Because He's been proven to me my whole life that He's been working in my behalf. When I look down through the tunnel of my life, and some of you have heard my testimony, and the further back you go, the worse it gets. When I look down through that tunnel, I can see, without a shadow of a doubt, that my God was answering people's prayers, and things could have been way worse than they were, but God was intervening. He was showing me way back as a kid, and as I got older, and even when things got really bad, He was still showing me and continues to show me. Corey, I want you to look at that. That was me. You can trust me. I was intervening in your behalf. That thing was about to go really south, and I got involved in that because your grandmother was praying. You need to know you can trust me. I wasn't even saved yet. We must trust Him. And He's not going to fight you over it. He already sent His Son to fight for it. We need to trust Him. We need to trust Him. Let me give you four important lessons I've learned about surrender and trusting God. Four this morning. Could give you 25. But I'm going to give you what I consider my top four. Number one, take God at His word. Take God at His word. And I know that's not always easy, but it's always possible. Not everything in my life has been easy. Not everything in your life has been easy. This isn't a day I tell my testimony and go into those really dark places and the things that happened to me. But the truth still stands. I can trust this word, and I can trust God. I have to take Him at His word and keep my hands off of it and let God do His thing. Let Him do what I will never be able to do. Rick Warren said, the more you believe and trust God, what's the key word? The more you believe. The more you believe and trust God, listen to this, the more limitless your possibilities become for your family, your career, and for your life. Who would like some limitless possibilities? You got to surrender and trust God. You got to surrender and trust God. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not like people. Thank God. Who lie? Cheat, steal. We could go on a lot of stuff. Who lie? He is not a human who changes His mind. Whatever He promises, He does. He speaks, and it is done. Do we believe that scripture? The whole Word of God is our counsel and the truth for our lives. Not just the New Testament, the entire Bible. And if it's written, it's written for a reason. It's written for us to see and know how to live our lives. And the Scripture says God is not like people, so quit judging Him based on what people do. That was free. Stop judging God on what people do. He's not people. God is not like people who lie. He is not a human who changes His mind. Whatever He promises, He does. He speaks and it's done. Let's be honest with ourselves. We struggle trusting God because we don't trust people. And we need to stop putting our trust in people and put our trust in the Word of God and the God who loves you and cares about you, who will never lie to you and will do what He said. He's not people. Well, I was in one of those whining moments whining. No, I was like really whining. I mean like bad whining. I mean like to the point I wondered if God was going to excommunicate me type of whining about people. And he stopped me. And he said, why are you judging me based on those people? I said, I'm not judging you. He says, yes, you are. Because they failed you, you think I'm going to do the same thing. Because they made you a promise after promise after promise and didn't keep them, you think that I'm going to do the same thing. And while I sat there in that quietness, I heard the Holy Spirit say, God is not people. He will not lie to you. He will do what he said. So in the next moment, I'm going to give you something free again here. I was on my face before God repenting for not trusting him because of what people had done. Because I can trust God. We can't always trust people, but you can always trust God. Matter of fact, you can trust him to change people if you get your hands off of it. Quit trying to fix everything and let God do it. His way in his time. Remember, it's back to emptying yourself out. We all want to walk in the glory and the power of God. And we're all trying to make that happen or go somewhere where we think it's happening. And guess what? All you got to do is empty yourself out and it will happen. Number two, understand the outcome doesn't depend on me. Back to Proverbs 3:5. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Understand the outcome doesn't depend on me. It depends on God. When I put my full trust in him, it's on him. Not on me. But have we really given it to him? Now, two of our kids are here this morning. I'm going to talk about them for a moment. I'm not only the pastor, I'm their dad, and I can do that. One's gone to see our grandson graduate from the Marine Corps this week. Yeah. Isaac will be with us next Sunday. Another baby girl serves somewhere else. But listen, kids do things, right? Our kids were in a season of doing stuff. And somebody said, I bet you're losing a lot of sleep. And I said, nope. I'm being honest. I said, nope. Been there, done that. Long time ago, not, nope. Learned a lesson there. If I'm not sleeping, I haven't turned it over to him yet. I said, no, Rochelle and I go to sleep. We sleep because we've turned it over to him. My God is the way maker. You with me? You're not sleeping. You got your hands on it. Yeah, but that's the yeah, but that beats us down. It's the moment we say, I don't care about the yeah, but my God is so. And I need to sleep. Where do you apply that? Wherever you need to apply what I just said. What do you need to take your hands off of? And fully, truly surrender it to him so you can sleep. In trusting God, I give up control. It's real simple. And trusting God, I give up control. What did Jesus do in the garden? He'd been doing it all along. But man, if you want a sign of surrender, there in the garden, and whose path did he follow? God's. Aren't you glad? That journey provided a way for every person on planet Earth to know Jesus and to be free. And delivered and a part of heaven. it was hard, but Jesus will tell you it was worth it. We got to trust God. We got to give up control. And when I give up control, what I am saying is I believe in your way, whatever that may be. Numerous times, Rochelle and I would say, I don't know what God is doing. Not the way I do it, but I guess he knows what he's doing, so we're just going to keep trusting him. And guess what? It always turned out okay. But when you don't take your hands off of it, it just goes all, you know, it takes all kinds of different paths. I'm giving you a key to watching miraculous things start happening all around you. Pin truth. Trusting God takes responsibility for the outcome off my shoulders and places it in God's hands. I was meditating out on the front porch about my life, and here's what I came to the conclusion of. God's never done anything the way I want it done. It's always been done different. And I'm glad. Can you be glad about it always happening different than what you think? Not getting your way? Yeah, Pastor, I'm going to go out in the foyer and jump up and down. I didn't get my way. I'm just going to celebrate. Number three, accept that God is sovereign. Boy, this is huge, church. Have we really accepted that God is sovereign? Have we really accepted that? Jeremiah 32:17 says, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Do we believe that? Could you have created the world? He did. I'm going to read that again. We need to let this bury down inside of us. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Some of you need to write that down, put that on the mirror in your bedroom, and walk up to it every day and say, you are the sovereign God. You created everything. And nothing is too hard for you. So I leave it with you today. I'm going to go to work and all this other stuff. It's right here. It's yours. Take care of it. I'm gone. What is that? It's a choice to believe God's word and that he's sovereign. Psalms 103:19. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything, even the deceiver Satan. Never ever think he's more powerful than the God of heaven. He's not. Accepting that God is sovereign is saying that I recognize he's the supreme source of what? All power, all authority. He's the supreme source of all power and all authority. That means he is able, he is bigger, he's the way maker. Nothing is too hard for my God. If I'll give it to him, I can watch him change everything when I get my hands off of it and trust him and surrender everything to him. Because he's the sovereign God. The very people you're concerned about, who created them? You're still trying to figure out how to change them. And God already knows. Do your part. Now, if God leads you to do something, do it. Don't do it in your own strength. Do what he tells you to do. And he don't tell you to do anything. Stay out of the way. But your part begins with surrender. And then trusting God with the process. And he can do this. Process. God's way. Number four, watch who you hang out with. I'm meddling now. But Pastor, you don't understand, I got to work with them. You don't have to hang out with them. Well, you don't understand, I got to do community things with them, but you don't have to hang out with them. Be the influence, not being influenced. Have them come hang out with your crew, not their crew. Or I thought we were supposed to go into the world and reach people. You need to go in there if you're strong enough. If you're not, stay away. Who are we hanging out with? Are we hanging out with people who are in control, feeding your control? Are we hanging out with people that are in doubt and unbelief, feeding your doubt and unbelief? Are we hanging out with people who are in fret and worry, feeding our fret and worry? Are we hanging out with people who walk around with dread on their face, feeding our dread? Or who are we hanging out with? Are we hanging out with critical spirits, people feeding our criticalness? Well, that's just the way they are. Okay, but you don't have to hang out with them until you get strong enough to the point to where they're uncomfortable because you're not that way and they want to be more like you. Watch who you hang out with until you have grown to a place that you become the influencer. Just recognize and be honest with yourself. If you're being influenced, back up and get in God's Word and surrender whatever's necessary to Him so that you are not led astray. Proverbs 3:13-20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Proverbs 13:20 in another translation, "Keep company with the wise and you will become wise. If you make friends," I love this, "with stupid people, you will be ruined." That's from the Good News Bible. That was the very first Bible somebody ever gave me. Remember the little lady I told you about that said, "You're the stinker we've been praying for"? She gave me a Good News Bible. I went back to that Bible. That was my very first Bible. I know why now why I loved the Good News Bible. It was so real with stupid people. I read that and I went, "I'm one of the stupid people. I got to change. I need to change." We could change that and just say people who are ignorant of the truth, who need somebody who's strong in the truth to be the influence. Message Translation puts it this way. I know not everybody likes Message Translation because of the way it paraphrases, but it says something important. Verse 20, "Become wise by walking with the wise." Walking. Then it says, "Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces." Who are you hanging out with? Who's speaking into your life? Chris is sitting over here today because we refused. We refused to not stand on the promise of God that He spoke to us about Chris. And I heard all kinds of things coming from all different directions, and I said, no way, nope, sorry. We're surrendering to the promise of God. We're not going to try to figure this out. We're not going to try to work it out. We're not going to get involved. We're going to take our hands off it. We're just going to stand on the promise of God. And our God is the way maker, and He will cause this to happen. And it will happen how He wants it to happen in the time that He wants it to happen. And the way God went about it wouldn't have been any way that any of us would have wanted. And Chris over there today is totally and set free from a bunch of things that he once had in his life physically are gone. Why? Surrendering to the promises of God and taking our hands off of it. My final statement this morning, we have to trust with our total being that God has our back and that He will help us and take care of us. He knows what is best. But we have to trust Him fully to genuinely comprehend what He has planned for our lives. I already know what's in front of me. Do you really? You see a little bit, not all. Because it takes a lot of trust and surrender. Because sometimes, I don't care who we are, sometimes there's a fog in front of us. Sometimes it's not real clear. And many times in those moments, God is testing. Oh, you mean God tests us? Oh, yeah. Testing, do I really trust Him? Will I really stay surrendered to His process and His path? He knows what is best, but you have to trust Him fully. Our trust is not foolish. For our God is faithful and good. The world wants to tell you there is no absolute truth. This there is. And there's evidence to back it up. The world wants to tell you, make your own truth. And where's that gotten us? No. The church of Jesus Christ. Now, you can either believe with me or not. The church of Jesus Christ in these last days is going to surrender and trust God. And we're going to see the fulfillment of the promises and watch God literally turn everything upside down. But guess where it starts? Right here. This moment in your own life, in your family, your work, your community. Here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me the other morning. He said, here's the question that the Father wants you to ask everybody Sunday. And guess who's a part of everybody? Me. The question was, when are you going to take your hands off of what God is trying to provide for you? When are you going to take your hands off of it and let God provide it? Well, I have a certain way I want it. Like I said, sitting on the front porch, it ain't ever happened the way I wanted it. But when it happened, it was awesome. The question, when are we going to take our hands off of it so God can provide it for us? When are we going to take our hands off of it? My question to all of us is, today is the day we need to surrender. And tomorrow morning you need to surrender. Tuesday you need to surrender. Wednesday you need to surrender. And guess what? It never stops. This afternoon you're going to have to trust God. Tomorrow you're going to have to trust God. Wednesday you're going to have to trust God. But you know what? You got to make a choice to trust God. It's a choice. I'm going to open the altars right now, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And when I say open the altars, they're always open. Just wanted to say that since that's so old school. Altars are always open. But I want to pray for anybody and everybody who will walk into this altar and say, I'm moving to the next level. I'm letting go. And I'm going to let God be God. If that's you, would you join me down here? Because I'm doing that in some areas. I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to take my hands off some stuff. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to make it a point. And if you're a guest with us today, you're welcome to. We've got to let go. Amen? We've got to trust God. And it begins right here this moment by what? Surrendering. Surrendering everything to Him right here this moment. I'm going to ask you to do, if it's not something you do a lot, but if you would, just lift your hands towards heaven as a moment before God, telling Him, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering right now. Now just surrender what it is that you came to this moment to. You came into this moment with something, maybe more than one thing. Let Him know you're giving it to Him. You're surrendering it. You're letting go. Taking your hands off of it. That you're going to let Him do what He does best. Father God, as we come this morning with our outstretched hands and surrender to You, I thank You, Father God, that You are moving in a very sovereign way right now. You told me this would be a sovereign moment for many. This would be the day of the turnaround. They would mark this day and know this was the day when everything began to change. So, Father, in this moment, we surrender ourselves to You fully. This afternoon, we surrender ourselves. Tomorrow morning, we'll surrender ourselves. Tomorrow, during the day, we'll surrender ourselves. And we put our trust in Your word and Your promises to us. And now, God, I ask that You just begin to blow by the Spirit of the living God the breath of freedom through this place right now, as Your presence hovers around this altar, to begin to settle and bring peace and hope, a stillness, a quietness, and a rest right now, in Jesus' name. I thank You, Father, in Jesus' name.